Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah. Amen. You know, I love that song. I just hear it echoing in my mind. I don't know if it was even the words, but in my mind in worship was, you are worthy to be praised. Just praise God for who he is and what he's done and how important he is in our own relationship with Jesus. And praise God, we know him. And that'll never end. Just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each and every one here today. I pray your special blessing in a couple areas. One, Father, with Children's Church, that your word and the message that you have for those kids to hear and to receive, that you would speak to them and let them know and sense your presence there. And may the leader of that, and as they lead that children's ministry this morning, may they recognize you, dear Holy Spirit, working in and through them. That they, you know, it's a wonderful thing when we see and recognize your very presence and your very power doing your very work that we recognize that's apart from us and through us. And so we praise you for that. But I pray the same thing here this morning, that as we look at this message this morning, that you'll feed hearts, for we've come to feed on the word of life, the bread of life. I pray that you will bless that. I pray that each person here, Father, will be fed spiritually, walk away full, and walk away praising you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've been working on our series of messages called Masterpiece in Progress. Today, the next phase of the masterpiece is that of being a multifaceted beauty. That's the title of the message today. As we've been talking about, the masterpiece of artwork, we're using that as an illustration. And last week we talked about the fact that God brought different colors together and blended, and I blended the colors on the board. And the idea with that is that you and I are different, distinct colors that God is not just putting together on the board, but blending us together. And when you blend colors together, new colors emerge. Especially with you do pastels or paint, whatever, in the art medium, those colors transfer and you get different colors. The special thing about that is that the way that God is putting us together, spiritually together in him, that the characteristics of who we are not just complementing each other as he puts us together, but he's putting uniting us together in a way that new values emerge out of who we are together in him. And so we can see that in the local church, in our church family, how we work together and bring different qualities together. And we see it a product out of that would not have happened if we had tried to stand alone on our own. But collectively, historically, the church is the body of Christ being put together into one temple, that holy temple, and blended together, if you will, to reflect new realities that only can be found through Christ in that circumstance. And so we're going to look at that a little bit more this morning as we consider that masterpiece. Now, understand, if you were to look at Scripture, you don't see the word masterpiece per se through the Scripture, but we do see the reference to the temple of God. And the temple of God is a masterpiece. Because, number one, you and I are temples of God, and we're a masterpiece. Whether we like the masterpiece or not, we're a masterpiece because we're created in his image, right? But when the temple of God comes down, you've got the foundations of 12 foundations of the apostles and the precious stones and the light of Christ shining through it and all the wonders of that new temple coming down. But spiritually, each component of that temple is a representation of you and I being put together in Christ that one day will be clearly seen and understood and make sense to us in heaven. The things that are obscure to us now or dark in the mirror will be made plain, right, one day. And we'll see that more specifically in a much more grander way. So in this way, we're blended together, and likewise, we are collectively called of God. That's the next layer of the artwork or the masterpiece that's being put together. You've seen some pieces of artwork where it's two-dimensional. You've seen some artwork where you can step into it as three-dimensional. You've seen some artwork where the acrylic paint is globbed on and to give different techniques of texture and all sorts of medium styles, that type of thing together. And so to be called collectively in God is another aspect of that layer that's being added to the masterpiece that one day will be completed, that will bring glory to God. We need to understand, we're called together of God to represent Him. We can, some, Steve was saying in Sunday school this morning, some are comfortable with, okay, I'm going to live out my faith and let people see Christ in me, and that's how they're going to know about Christ. And then there's others that will say, I'm going to boldface go up and share the gospel with somebody. And both of those things are great, but both of those things working together in our life, where we live it out with authenticity and are bold with it when God gives us opportunity, collectively work greater together for God's glory. And so it doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what our background is, what our experiences are, how much we know or we don't know, because as believers, if we know the gospel of Christ, this be more specific, if all of us in here are Christians, and I'm venturing to say that we are, that we've received Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, that we recognize the very presence of God's Spirit in our spirit, confirming in our heart and our spirit that He is real, identified, and lives in us, and we in Him. Therefore, we know how to become Christians. We know how to get saved. And that basic principle of sharing that reality with others is the most simplest thing to understand, in the sense of, I know how I got saved, I asked Christ in my heart, I asked Him to forgive me for my sin, come live in my heart, be my Savior, and I meant it, and He came, and he revealed Himself to me in my heart. We know that simplistic picture, yet the challenge of sharing that is a real challenge, because it's the spiritual warfare to present the Word of God, to present the gospel as God gives us opportunity. And sometimes we use or we feed into the line that Satan gives us that says that we're not capable of being what God has called us to do. And God has called each one of us. And if He's called us, He's equipped us, He's prepared us, and He's enabled us to go in power to be the people He's called us to be. So don't buy into the fact that we might say to ourselves, I'm not qualified, or I don't have the ability, or I don't have the skill, or I don't have the knowledge. And fill in the blanks wherever you want, because God has already called us. And at the baseline of what we already know, we can tell people how to receive Christ as their Savior. So it doesn't matter what our background is. We've all been called and equipped. But we all have multifaceted skills in presenting Christ. The way we live, how we present the gospel. There's all sorts of ways. I was drinking my coffee in Steve's class this morning, and he said something, because he was sharing a little bit about his testimony, that when his roommate had shared the gospel with him, he got mad because he wasn't saved and he didn't like what he heard. And then I'm taking a sip of my coffee, and he goes, and then the other Steve goes, but Steve, we've got ping pong at church. Talk about multifaceted. You know, we got ping pong. Come on, let's play some ping pong at church. You know, and I thought, that was funny to me. But anyways, multifaceted skills to reach people for Christ. I thought, man, he is really reaching fast. You know, pong, what are you going to say about that? Anyways, so like Paul, our backgrounds don't dictate our future. Amen. But instead help shape and prepare us for His calling on each of our lives. Amen. Again, our backgrounds don't dictate. If we allow Satan to convince us that our background will keep us from being what God has called us to be, we've been deceived and have embraced a lie. But if we embrace what God has called us to be, then we are recognizing how God has shaped us and has prepared us for the things that He specifically, in a multifaceted way, has called us to represent Him. And so we all can do this in different ways. Kind of like a master jeweler. I've got some fake, well, I don't want to say fake. I've got some diamonds at home that are in the rough. They're real diamonds. But there's a place on the East Coast that my parents went. They were all over the beach one day. And they went and they picked them all up. Well, they don't look fanciful, because any gem, any stone in the rough doesn't look like a whole lot of nothing. But you can recognize. But when it's cut and shaped and polished, obviously it's radiated. And so there's that sense of, you know, it may be rough, but when it's cut and polished, it's beautiful. The masterpiece artwork that God is working may be rough, but He's still putting it together. You may think of yourself as being rough. I years ago, a lady by the name of Sarah was in the hospital. She was dying, and she was going home to be with the Lord. And I had made her a pastel card and a poem in it and all that stuff. And one little part of the poem said that Sarah, basically it was telling Sarah, "Sarah, you were a diamond in the rough, but now you're a glistening, polished, faceted, beautiful Christian woman." And that's what God has done. That's what I see in you as part of His handiwork in your life. And so that's what God is doing. He's shaping us and cutting us and making us into something brilliant for Him as we yield to Him and not to anything that will hold us back from being what He's called us to be. So now I want to look at how God challenges us to embrace the calling of every true believer in Christ. And we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, where Paul explains how this is possible. He says, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to me for you, how that by revelation He made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge of the mystery of Christ." You know, if I was to put that statement, those verses, into a nutshell, Paul is saying, look, I've already told you before, but I'm telling you again, not only do I know the gospel that I've shared with you, but I've also been taught the things that God has revealed to me that I want to share with you. I've received Christ and I know Christ. I've received Christ and I learn of Christ. And as I've received Christ, I share with those who haven't how to receive Him. And the things I've learned of Christ, I share with you because that's what God wants me to do. That's my calling, and His calling was that to the Gentile people. But Paul writes with a very humble heart and a very contented heart that was joyful, even though he was a prisoner at the time. And he says in that verse, he says that he was the prisoner of Christ. When Paul wrote this to the Ephesians, Paul was in prison in Rome under the authority of the emperor of Nero. Prisons did not have carpet, air conditioning, and hobbies in that day. Sorry, a little sarcasm. It was a prison.
No ping pong?
No ping pong. Okay? They were prisons. They were miserable places to be. Not saying that what's out there now isn't miserable, but it's there's no comparison. And he's in this dungeon, and when I say dungeon, it almost looks like an Air Force base, the hangars, the round hangars, whatever you call those. You go in there, and there's a hole in the ground. They drop the prisoners down in there, and they pile them up on top of each other. And there's no facilities, there's nothing there, and they're there. And Paul is just happy to be there. Not because he's a prisoner of Nero, the emperor, but because he's a prisoner of Christ Jesus. Now, I got to tell you, there's something odd about that statement, especially for the non-believer. Here's this guy that's in horrific circumstances, and he's excited about being a prisoner of Christ. But what he learned is that being a prisoner of Christ, being a slave of Christ, being a servant of Christ, is the best life that we can live in Him. And he rejoiced in it. He knew he was exactly where God the Father wanted him to be, doing exactly what he wanted to do, and that God was using him in the very specific, multifaceted ways that God intended to. God had called Paul to minister to the Gentile people, non-Jewish people, which was a horrific calling, if you will, because the Jews did not accept the Gentiles. Most of us know about that history. But he was called to share the gospel message of Christ. He was called to be an administrator of the grace of God, to figure out and to administrate and to disperse and dispatch the gospel plan of salvation, to disciple people, to bring them up into a growing, maturing, relationship with Christ. He's stepping into an area where the Gentiles didn't know anything about God. We learned last week that there is a point where the hardness of their heart, that God allowed them to become less sensitive to God. We learned about that last week as we looked at the scriptures in Ephesians. And so Paul had his work definitely cut out for him, but in reality, it wasn't his work, it was God's work through him. And so Paul was going to execute and dispense that grace of the gospel message in the things that he learned about Christ to the Gentiles. Let's read again verses 3 and 4. How that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge of the mystery of Christ. Now, if I slow down for just a moment and just simply say, is it not a blessing when we share our faith with others, other Christians, or let's just say when someone gets saved because we share the gospel, praise God, what a wonderful blessing, or we share the knowledge that we've gained in our relationship with someone else and they grab hold of it and it blesses their lives, it enriches their life. I mean, that's a rich blessing. And Paul was having that moment in his life where he had been saved and he had been called, and it was a pivotal milestone in his life. We have to remember that Paul was an apostle and a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was the greatest of apostles. He was the cream of the crop of education, if you will. He was a scholar in the word, okay? But after his conversion to Christ, he was taken into Arabia for 3 years and taught by the Lord himself. We find that in Galatians 1:15 through 18. Can you imagine Paul later being taught by the Lord himself 3 years in the desert of Arabia? And then he came back. I bet he came back pretty fired up for God, right? God wants us to understand and know the mystery or the riches of the gospel of Christ, that we too, like the Apostle Paul, can share with others. I can't underscore the relationship between knowing God and knowing his riches. The more we know him, understand him, the more we embrace riches that he gives to us in him, because we discover him. We have the wow factor in our life of what God has done and is doing in and through our lives. So, in Ephesians 3:5, it says, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. The church age has a unique period of time in it that we should never take for granted, that we should never just be complacent about the church age and what God is doing in and through it. Because in the church age, you and I have that relationship with Christ as believers, where the Spirit of God dwells in our heart and we know him. In the Old Testament, they didn't have that. The Holy Spirit was external and leading and popping in and out. The only person in the Old Testament that had the Holy Spirit with them all the time was David. Everyone else, the Holy Spirit appeared from time to time. David had the Lord with him all the time after his calling to serve him. So, what was the greatest gift? Greatest gift. The gift, it said, we read in the scriptures, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise through Christ, or in Christ through the gospel. It's through the good news of Christ, and believing in him, asking forgiveness of our sins, is the gospel message, that we become fellow members, fellow heirs of Christ. Everything the Father has for the Son, he has for us. And we're all members of the body of Christ. And the greatest gift that we received, we might instantaneously say salvation, but I'd like to say the greatest gift that we've ever received is Jesus himself. Because Jesus himself is our salvation. He could not live in us if we had not been forgiven of our sins. And so it represents the tremendous gift of God's grace. So you see how this message is not eye-opening, revealing. It's really a reflection of a basic principle that we should continue to embrace, but never take for granted. And I think that's something that we need to really, really think about and ponder on. In Ephesians 3, 7 through 9, it says, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. To me, who am less than the least of the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship and the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Christ Jesus. Paul is rejoicing that the revelation of the gospel of Christ is made known in the church age because of what Christ did, dying and raising from the dead and providing redemption and salvation for all mankind, that was hidden from the world since or before the church age, before Christ died and rose. And he's rejoicing that he has the privilege to be able to share that with other people. And you and I have that same very privilege. The same very privilege. But I dare to say that we're not as excited about that privilege as Paul was. Because we don't see it in stark contrast. We see it as a norm. He sees it as, wow, this was revealing. This was incredible. This is a great opportunity. But I will say that when we are actively sharing Christ with others as God gives opportunity and the very act of sharing, there's a blessing of planting that spiritual seed. The very blessing of seeing that seed take root or seeing that seed produce fruit by the person receiving Christ is exhilarating in our spirit because we know it's the power of God working in and through us for his purpose for which he's called us. In verse 7, Paul reminds us that God has called us and empowered us to share his gospel message and the riches that we discover in him. You can say, I know the gospel, I know how to share it. Some Christians might say, I don't know how to share it. I'm scared to share it because I'm afraid I'm not going to share it right. You just share your personal experience in receiving Christ, and that's as simple as that. When God gives you opportunity, you ask for grace to be able to be bold in him because it is a warfare and it is scary, and yet it is a blessing. So it doesn't matter who we are, because the Apostle Paul considered himself the least worthy of God's grace. Why was that? Remember why? Paul was not just the Pharisee of Pharisees, the most highly educated, under the highest educational system under Gamaliel. He was the best of the best of the crop of the crop of the Pharisees of Pharisees, and he counted himself the least of all Christians to have such privilege to carry the gospel because he was a murderer. He murdered Christians, those that followed the way, which is what Christians were called. They were called those of the way. They weren't called Christians back in the early church. So Paul sees himself saying, I murdered God's people, and yet God in his grace has called me. So we can't allow our past to dictate our future. We have to recognize that where we are now in Christ is the calling that God has given us and empowered us to live in him. In Ephesians 3:10-11 says, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principal. I love this. Just I hope you catch this. I'm sure you will. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church, that's you and I, believers in Christ, the body of Christ, to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Did you get that? We look at the historical fact that the church was a mystery because the gospel wasn't plain, that God would come and die on the cross and raise from the dead before he would reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That was a mystery. We as the church have embraced the gospel and believe without seeing Christ, but know Christ in our heart by his spirit and have the privilege of bearing the gospel of Christ to people that God brings into our life that they might know and have a personal relationship with Christ, that Christ can reveal his riches to them. But not only are we called as a church to reach out into the world that way or into our own little world of our own, but the angels in heaven and the angels that have fallen, and every ungodly spirit along with it, learns about God and his character by how you and I relate with him and how he relates with us. They learn what it means to be forgiven. Fallen angels are not going to be forgiven. Holy angels have nothing to be forgiven for. Okay? They learn about what mercy is. They learn about what grace is. They learn about what unconditional love is. They learn about the power of God. They learn about the empowerment of God in your life and our life. They learn about how God is shaping us and cutting those rough rocks into specific radiant stones, if you will, that reflect the glory and the character and the person of Christ in and through our lives. The whole angelic society, heavenly and unholy, all the unseen powers and authorities that we don't know of, that's part of our warfare, all of them learn about who God is through our relationship in and through Christ and him and us. Is that not cool? So when you and I take a stand, when God calls us to be bold for him and share the gospel, or when God calls you and I to say to somebody, maybe at work or school or wherever, say, man, I've got this burden, but I'm asking God to take care of it, and I'm trusting him to do that, or we share how our faith is put into practical play in our lives, and others are watching, listening, and seeing this in our lives, Christ in our lives, they're not only getting an opportunity in which God will use our witness to draw them to maybe ask, how do I become a Christian, or how can I grow in Christ more? But the angelic host and all that I've already described is learning about God and how he lives in us. So our effect is not, the effect that God has on us, and it's not just affecting this world and this era that we're living in, it's affecting a host of power and authority that we can't see. And all of it brings glory to God. All of it brings glory to God. I think that's just, I keep saying mind-blowing. I guess the right way would be uncomprehensible, if you will. Okay? So to help us understand what Paul is saying in plain English, I want to read this verse again in the Message translation. Through followers of Jesus like yourselves gathered in churches, this extraordinary plan of God is becoming known and talked about even among the angels. That means, did you see what happened between, I'll pick a name, Carolyn and so-and-so, talking about the Lord and what God was doing there? That's how personal it is. They're watching us to where by name and in person, in our own actions, in our lives, they're saying, look what God just did through. Put your name there. And it affects all eternity. All eternity. Never-ending effect. Praise God for that. It's amazing. What we do is observed and discussed by angels, holy and unholy, principalities and powers. Mind-blowing. These unseen, holy and unholy angelic hosts learn of the wisdom of God through the church. You and I are the church. Verse 10 calls God's wisdom manifold, meaning that God's wisdom is multifaceted. God's called me to be a pastor, called you to be a Sunday school teacher, called you to be a witness and testimony in your workplace, called, given you specific gifts and abilities to be able to be used for him as you discover them, as you walk with him, and so forth and whatnot. We're multifaceted. We are not boring people. We are created uniquely in Christ with our own abilities in and through him for his glory. Reverend D.H. Quipper wrote this, quote, "The word manifold emphasizes that the wisdom of God shows itself in a great variety of forms. As a beautiful picture is composed of many different colors and shades, so the wisdom of God has many aspects, forms, implications, and threads, ping pong, if you will." Different facets of trying to grab a hold of people for Christ. Praise God for that, right? Praise God for that. Ephesians 3:12 says, "In whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him." all Christians, Jews or Gentiles, poor and rich, educated or uneducated, have identical, get that, identical boldness, access, and confidence before God, because it has nothing to do with our background, only with our faith in Jesus. We all can share the good news and the riches of Christ, I'm going to add to that, with others. Doesn't matter our background. What matters is our faith and our walk with Jesus and letting him do his work in and through each one of us. Finally, Ephesians 3:13 says, "Therefore I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory." What was Paul talking about? He was in prison. Not a cool place. Dropped in a hole in the floor in a building, down under the ground, and that was it. He's in there, but he's happy. What a testimony to the other people that were around him in that prison. He's happy. Paul was not upset by his imprisonment. And he's telling the Ephesians, look, though I'm in prison for sharing the gospel of Christ, though I'm in prison for sharing the riches of the knowledge that God continues to reveal about himself to me with you, I do not want you to get discouraged that I'm being persecuted for my faith, that you say I'm not going to do that either. I want you to stand that much bolder because I am happy as a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Therefore, be bold, be strong, and continue and to do what God would have you to do. He was under the lordship of Christ. He was in the Lord's hands. Even though he was under arrest for the sake of preaching the gospel, doing good, he says, don't lose heart. And Paul didn't want them to be discouraged. Paul wanted them to still be used for the service of God in that multifaceted way that affects not just eternity, but eternity and its continuality, if you will. God's manifold or faceted wisdom to use Paul in prison to share the gospel with more Gentiles, as he was called to do. Paul realized, look, I'm in prison, but God is using this his way to reach other people, in specific terms, Gentiles, for Christ. When we're in a situation, whether good or bad, if we take a step back in our walk with Christ and spiritually assess the situation, we might be able to say, this is a unique situation that God's given me, good or bad, that he wants to use me to represent him, either by boldly sharing the gospel or by boldly stating what riches there are in Christ by my relationship, dependency, and love on Christ is. And we use that opportunity to share him. Just as Paul was called to suffer in prison for the furthering of God's kingdom work, so might we also be called to suffer for God's work. But we must remember it is God's multifaceted or manifold wisdom using us in these circumstances or those circumstances to glorify himself. Satan will tell us, go ahead and be a witness, but not if it means you're going to suffer. You don't want to do that. You want it to be easy. Nobody likes suffering. If we suffer with him, we will be glorified with him. We're not just joint heirs with Christ. Everything the Father has for the Son, you and I will receive portions of that. But if we suffer with him, we're not talking about health conditions. We're not talking about finance conditions per se. We're talking about suffering for as a result of standing up boldly for Christ. If we are getting retribution, now is that the right word, retribution? No, that's a good word, isn't it? If we're getting attacked back, huh? Okay. Of retribution for standing up for Christ. That's a form of suffering. And if we suffer with him, we will be glorified with him. But the condition was if. So if we see the challenge and we know that there's going to be recompense for that challenge, that's not positive, but suffering. Know this, if God has given the opportunity for us to reveal the gospel and who he is to others for his eternal kingdom purposes and to affect all the unseen powers and hosts of angelic beings and everything else that's out there, do it. And know that if we're willing to suffer for Christ, that Christ will honor us. If you suffer with him, we will be honored with him, glorified with him. Our calling in Christ will develop, whether it be from his blessings or sufferings that he allows in our lives. Claudia, for instance, her testimony years back when, with her cancer. She was on the table and getting her treatments. And what was it that gave you the peace and calm and also testimony? You sang Christian hymns. And you bet the technicians around her knew it. She had comfort, but God was using that awkward, difficult, horrifying circumstance to reveal himself to those around her in those situations. And so we have to be willing to yield to that which God leads us into and look at it always as opportunity to reflect him, to reflect him. When we do this, we're allowing God to shape or cut us into that beautiful diamond or that beautiful masterpiece, right? We need to remember that all that comes from God, God has this manifold wisdom, his multifaceted ways of working through us to reach the lost, that they might come to know him and grow in him. Therefore, our calling to share God's gospel is part of God's multifaceted masterpiece. As God continues to work in our lives and the generations that follow and the generations past, he's building that masterpiece and he's revealing that part of the significance of the masterpiece you look at is the call and the faithful call of Christians to Christ. Understand the difference. Not just called to salvation, but the faithful, obedient response of the call on our lives is part of the intriguing beauty of the masterpiece that God is designing that he will complete. Let's go to the Lord. Father, I want to thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for the work that you're doing in each of our lives. Thank you for the fact that you've told us that you will complete your work in our lives. I pray that if there's anybody here in this room that knows that they have not asked Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, that they would ask him into their life, because we don't know if we have today or tomorrow or next year or whatever. If we know that we have you in our heart, then we know it because you've already made yourself real to us in our own spirit. We know you're there. We identify you. Separate from ourselves, we can see you in a sense in our own heart. And we praise you for that dowry, that deposit of faith that I am real, that I am yours, that I am in you, that you are in me, that I have given you eternal life. Now, be my people, which I have called you to be. Share the gospel. Explain your experience on how you ask Jesus in your heart with others when opportunity is given. And share the riches that you enjoy in Christ with others as you learn about me. That's what you want from us. Help us to be just that. And may you be glorified, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.